morning, everyone. Wonderful to see everyone. And I thought I'd begin us with a little bit of a reflection and learning about Sfirat HaOmer. We're in the middle of this momentous period of counting up. It's been a very different kind of count this year. One of the things that's been very kind of striking and unnerving and upsetting this year, actually, to me, was seeing people, you know, kind of in jest, but not in jest, talking about not the count from Pesach, but the count of the number of days that they've been quarantined, or the number of days that they have basically abandoned their normal routine of living life. And there was something kind of cute and amusing and comforting to people about, you know, what it means that suddenly this ritualistic count is sort of roughly correspondent to a very different kind of count that we've been dealing with, but also I think raises some intense questions about what does it mean to count in different ways. I think it's fair to say none of us wanted to be counting the days of isolation or quarantine or number of days of Zoom school at home, or in the worst cases, number of days since someone has been sick or since someone we have lost. I actually just came directly to this from a Zoom Shiva call. And it's a very difficult and complicated time in terms of counting. And I wanted to use that as a reflection, both to kind of understand what is the counting of Sfirat HaOmer about, and how might we use what I think it's really about to propel us forward, particularly in this challenging year. So I'm gonna share my screen with some sources that I'll be referring to, which take us into a deeper set of questions about Sfirat HaOmer. So in my house always, and perhaps in yours, the days of Sfirat HaOmer are very exciting and neurotic. There are three children and two adults who are nervously checking and remembering each night to tick off another day. I will say so far, so good. Four of us missed one night, but my 17-year-old got every single night so far, but we're all still alive. And it is, in that sense, a kind of intense and dramatic mitzvah to count the Omer, because it forces you, or you know, invites you, to keep track of time in an audible way, right? You're really marking time on a daily basis by voice. And there's something very intense and striking about that, in particular when you realize that it's not just a reckoning of time sort of in your mind, but it is something where you are saying a blessing and giving deep ritual significance to what otherwise might be a mathematical task. So I'd like to sort of take us a little bit to the origins of this practice, and how is it that we ended up with that kind of ritual. And it goes back to the Torah, as most things do. And that's where we're starting off here. The verses of Svartim Lachem Imachorah Shabbat, Miyama Viachemet Omer Atznufa, Sheva Shabbatot Minot Yena, Vimachorah Shabbat Ashvi'it Isperucha Mishim Yom, Vikravtem Mincha Chadasha Ladonai. And the timing here in these verses, you have the translation there, it takes us from this Machorat HaShabbat, the morrow of the Sabbath, which rabbinic tradition understands to be the day following the morrow of the first day of Pesach, which is a day of rest and therefore can be called a Shabbat, into seven full weeks of counting. And that's, of course, how our calendar works. Now, the Sifra, which we will come back to in a bit, marks out what this is supposed to mean. Okay. Just one other note on this. The verse in Dvarim, of course, in Deuteronomy also takes us to marking out 7 weeks. But it's the Sifra here, okay, which is this early midrash on the book of Leviticus, which makes makes the first significant contribution to our understanding of what this mitzvah is. Usfartem lachem, says the Sifra, kol echad ve'echad. You shall count for yourselves, it says in the Torah, usfartem lachem, and the Midrash understands that to mean each and every person. How does the Midrash work here? It seems to pick up on the plural form of the word lachem, okay? Maybe even just the presence of the word lachem, But it certainly could have just said Usfartem mimachorat haShabbat, right? You know, let's count from the day after the first day of Pesach, after that Sabbath. But when it says Usfartem lachem, says the Sifra, that clarifies that this is not meant merely as a communal marking of time, but rather something that each person must mark individually. All right, and this is something is sort of so I find so engaging to kind of go back and take mitzvot that we take for granted how they're practiced, and then go back to the Torah and realize you could have read it differently. Right, Usfartem lachem imachorat haShabbat might have been nothing more than here's how I want you to set up the calendar. Instead, it becomes a mitzvah for individuals to mark time. And that's what that word lachem is understood to add in the Sifra. Now, when you go further into this, because that itself might just be a command for each individual person to mark time, we see that something more than that was imagined. So here in the Talmud Bavli in Chagiga, we have a statement by Abaye. Abaye here is reflecting on the fact that we have two passages in the Torah. One in Leviticus that talks about counting 50 days, and one in Deuteronomy that talks about counting 7 weeks. Amar Abaye says, Abaye, mitzvah lemimne yome, dichtiv tisperu chamishim yom, u mitzvah lemimne shvu'e, dichtiv shiv'a shavuot tispor lach. So says Abaye, there is an obligation that one must count both days, following the idiom of Vayikra, and weeks, in the idiom of Dvarim, during this period of time. And that's what gives us the sort of richer and more complex ritual that we're familiar with today. It's the one that keeps us all more mathematically on our toes. You say the, you know, the number that today is the 45th day of the Omer, and that is 6 weeks and 3 days, you always have to kind of be engaging with the question of how it adds up, okay? But the other thing that's clear from Abaye, okay, which might not have been clear prior to what he said, is that this not only is a counting that has to be done by individuals, but that it must be done out loud as a verbal declaration. If we were speaking here only about, you know, a mental reckoning of the calendar, like keep track of what day it is, Abaye's requirement to count both days and weeks wouldn't make much sense, right? As long as I know how much time has elapsed since Pesach, then I clearly would have accounted for my basic obligation to track time. Once Abaye comes along and says, you have a requirement to count days and weeks, he seems to presume, I'm not saying he's innovating it, but he seems to presume that this counting is articulated such that there's a precise mathematical and literary formulation that we have to direct you to use. And if you've ever gone into the deeper halachot of counting the Omer, you find that actually in the Middle Ages, there's all kinds of arguments of like, exactly how are you supposed to say this? In what order? If you make a mistake, you know, can you recover from it, that are all predicated on doing it out loud, okay? And so the question I wanted to move us to now is, where did that come from, okay? In other words, how did we end up with a ritual that we are supposed to count these days and weeks out loud, that we're supposed to precede it by a blessing? Is there anything in the Torah or the Sifra, that Midrash on Usfartem Lachem, that suggests that anything more than a mental record is required for this? And if not, if you can't really anchor it in the text or in the Midrashic tradition, then why did that practice of counting aloud develop in the first place? It's so quintessential to how we think about the Omer today. You say a blessing, you count the days, you count the weeks. Where did that come from? Okay? And those questions are even sharper when you consider that there are other instances of normative counting in the Torah that do not seem to have been understood as speech acts. So here, this verse, set of verses really, in Vayikra 15, okay, take you through the laws of the Zav and the Zava. People who have an unusual discharge from their body are in a state of impurity. Something pathological is happening with their body, and they need to recover from it. And those verses talk about when a person has an issue and then they're purified. Here in the case of the Zav, the male figure in this chapter, he shall count for himself 7 days for his purification. Okay? And then wash and then be purified. And similarly for the female subject, when she is purified, she shall count for herself 7 days and then bring a sacrifice, okay? There's a counting there, okay? There is a sense of needing to have a mandatory waiting period of 7 days after the cessation of discharge before beginning purification. But there's no indication that this counting of those days has to be pronounced in any kind of audible fashion, or that you would make a blessing. You know, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sfirat ziva. I've been commanded by the Torah to count, right, these days of purification. And indeed, also in the same sifra, which we saw above, when that midrash is analyzing this text and focusing on the words v'safar lo and v'safra la, it says le'atzmo. Le'atzma, which seems to indicate that counting is meant to be done privately, right? As opposed to the counting of the Omer, which is done aloud. This one is sort of a mental reckoning of time. And so the question then arises, is there any way to justify our different treatment of those kinds of similar formulations? Why should usfartem lachem, in the case of the Omer, be rendered as you shall count audibly and with a blessing? Whereas these other instances of the safar lo, the safra la, are private. Or for that matter, in the reckoning of the Jubilee year, the Torah tells us, v'safarta lecha sheva shabtot shanim, you shall count for yourself 7 sabbaticals of years, 7 years, 7 times. Does anyone think that there's an obligation for an individual or the community to get up and make a blessing and count each year leading up to the Jubilee? Shekidshanu mitzotav tzivanu al sfirat yovel, something that has to do with sort of the ritualized marking of this time. And again, to the extent that's not the case, why? Why do we treat these differently? Okay. So here I want to take us briefly into the medieval authorities that were bothered by this and come out with what I hope will be a suggestion and a perspective that can be helpful for us. The Tosafot were the first people to ask this question. And they said, well, wait a minute. Sfirat HaOmer, we know, is done aloud and with a blessing. And when they come to analyze the counting of the Zava, the female subject of a pathological discharge who is now counting and trying to have her body reset and become purified again, they say, V'im tomar amai ein mevarechet zava al sfirata, kemo shemevarchin al sfirata omer. Dehachtiv v'safra. Why isn't there a blessing here? Why isn't there a count here that is audible, just like the count towards the omer? Okay. To which they say, well, perhaps this is because we only say a blessing over the count towards the Jubilee, which the court performs each year, and the Omer, because one can always count these units in order. But in the case of a Zava, if she sees further blood, her count is canceled, so she should not count. Okay, how do the Tosafot take this apart? They say there's two kinds of counting. There's a counting that you know you can start and get to the end. As long as you're diligent, as long as you don't forget, time is inexorably moving forward. All that is incumbent upon you is to mark it. In those contexts, like counting the Omer, since you know those 49 days are going to come, we mandate you to count it aloud and to say it with a blessing because we know that they will not be interrupted. And interestingly, if you note, the Tosafot assume that that is true also of counting the Jubilee year. And they do assume that there was a court in the time where this was functioning. The court would once a year on Rosh Hashanah basically get up and count the new year. However, in the case of the bodily discharge in Vayikra, actually you're hoping for 7 days that are going to take you to the other end of the pathology your body has been experiencing, but you don't know, they might be interrupted. The discharge might resume, the illness might return. And therefore, since you can't be guaranteed that you'll have an uninterrupted count, it remains a reckoning of time, but not something that actually we ritually mark. Okay, so that's one suggestion of how to resolve Spirata Omer as an oral count with a blessing, as opposed to other kinds. That was not fully convincing to later interpreters. The Radbaz, Rav David ben Zimra, who is in Eretz Israel and Egypt, he offers a different explanation. He suggests that no, counting the Omer is an essential mitzvah. That is to say, you can't legitimately evade that counting. It shows up, the second day of Pesach shows up, and you are expected to count to Shavuot. And therefore, you must do this and perform it, and therefore it can be mandated in an oral form with a bracha. That's why it's done aloud and with a blessing. By contrast, a zava or a zav, someone who is recovering from an impurity that their body has thrust upon them, actually can electively choose to remain in a state of impurity. As long as that person abides by the restrictions that apply to them while in that state, there's actually no obligation per se to become pure. And therefore, since the counting is strictly speaking optional, we don't vocalize it and ritualize it. Okay, that also did not convince some other later authorities. And there were different approaches to this question. There were actually some later authorities, Rabbi Yeshaya HaLevi Horowitz, the Shla, who actually determined that indeed a Zav and a Zava were expected to count these days aloud, and refusing to see that it was particularly different from Svirat HaOmer in terms of where the Torah took us. So there's various ways of understanding whether, you know, these categories are the same or not. None of them really answer the question that ultimately interests me, which is where I began, which is why do we count the Omer out loud with a blessing? Especially since leading to the comparison of the other cases might lead us in the opposite direction. So where does the notion come from that Abaye already assumes that we would do this practice out loud? And here you have an amazing passage by the Netziv, the Ha'amek Davar on Vayikra, the late 19th century Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, Lithuanian Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin, who plays out, and here I'll narrate it for you, I have the original, but I'll narrate for you the essence of what he says. The Netziv tries to answer this question by going back to the biblical text. And he notes that the passages discussing the counting of the Omer are doubled. That is to say, in Vayikra, if you look at the language, it's Usfartem Lachem Imachor al Shabbat, you shall count from the day after the Shabbat, and Tisperu Chamishim Yom, and you shall count 50 days. That is to say, the verb Lispor appears twice. Similarly, in Dvarim, Shiva Shavuot Tispor Lach, count 7 weeks, Me'achel Chermesh Bakama Tachel Lispor, count 7 weeks. A doubling of the verb of counting. The Netziv makes a very provocative suggestion. He says that when the Torah speaks about counting, it generally refers to keeping track of time on a mental plane. When you just say to count once, that's what it means. And that's why in the Zav and the Zava, the cases of impurity, you don't have to do anything out loud. And the Omer would have been that way too, had the Torah not doubled the verb of counting. It's the doubling, says the Netziv, that transforms the mental count into a verbal one, both in terms of counting days and counting weeks. Vayikra tells us twice to count days, as if it's saying, keep track of the days and count them out loud. Dvarim tells us twice to count weeks, as if to say, keep track of the weeks and count them out loud. And this, says the Netziv, also accounts for the question people often ask, doesn't the Torah say, Tisperu Chamishim Yom? What about that 50th day? Why don't we count the Omer, the 50th day of the Omer on Shavuot? Well, that day isn't doubled, because it says, Usfartem lachem imachorat ha-shabbat, sheva shabbatot, count 7 weeks. And then it says, count 50 days. So the 49 first days are doubled in the Torah's mention of them, but the 50th day is not. And so says the Netziv, we are meant to count the 50th day of the Omer mentally, keep track of it, think on the first day of Shavuot how we've come 50 days from Pesach, but actually only the 7 weeks get counted aloud. Now, I like about this because it provides an anchor in the biblical text for what makes the counting of the Omer different from the other kinds of countings in the Torah, at least gives us right a way of tying that back. But even if we assume the textual analysis, what I want to leave you with is a thought of why does the Torah choose to express these mitzvot in this way? That is to say, why does the Torah double its language of counting around the Omer in a way that results in an audible count? So here I want to suggest that, going back to where I began, there are really two different kinds of counting that we do in life. There are times when we count to get away from something. You might count the number of years you've been sober. You might count the number of years when you escaped a country in which you were oppressed. You might count the number of days since you've been thrown out of the regular routine of your life, quarantine. That kind of counting is ultimately about leaving something behind, right? And that is actually what the counting of the Zav and the Zava is about. When people are counting to get from impurity to purity, that counting is nothing more than making sure that some kind of pathological state has ended so that a full life can begin again. And that counting is often critical. It can be spiritually meaningful, but if you think about it, it always fundamentally looks backwards. And it expresses gratitude for escaping illness or oppression, or mourns how long we have been in a certain state that is itself a state of pathology, isolation. And by contrast, there's times where we count towards something. In our general culture, those are usually called countdowns, right? To a top song, to the new year, some kind of end of a process. But in those counts, if you think about it, we face forward. We have tremendous anticipation of what awaits us at the end. And that is the kind of counting that the Omer is, right? It's a count up, but it has the emotional valence of a countdown. We're heading towards Shavuot, towards the giving of the Torah. It's our first opportunity to do something meaningful with the freedom that we got on Pesach. That sort of counting, if you think about it, is about seeking blessing, not about running away from a curse. And therefore, the Torah indicates through its double language, we've got to do it aloud. We've got to do it with the language of blessing. And that, I think, makes sense of the Netziv's silent count of the 50th day. You wouldn't count that aloud. That's a mental count because we've already arrived. On Shavuot, there's nothing to count down to, we're there. That I want to suggest to you is part of what's so exciting about counting the Omer, because it's about entirely about looking forward. There is not leaving something behind, and it is about ending one day before Shavuot, which is when the preparation has reached its peak. And that, I think, is what true bracha looks like. It's the opportunity to look forward to things in life, to plan how we use our energy and passion to make the most of what we have. It's the kind of counting it's so hard for us to do in this moment. We don't know when so much of this current state will end. We don't know when the sixth of Sivan, as it were, is for this moment of isolation. But I'm hopeful that the model of Sfirat HaOmer, what it is to mark days aloud and with a blessing and an anticipation, can give us a focus on a different kind of counting. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.